Have you heard about the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony yet? It's already been pulled from YouTube, so you know it's controversial. People on social media are saying it was a drag queen mockery of Christ, but they're very mistaken about what was really being shown to us. Themes of child sacrifice and the Babylonian solar religion were clearly encoded. Lots of people are saying that they saw all these things, but they didn't. Nobody saw what was hidden in plain sight. France has always been Illuminate Confirmed, so join me as we decode this massive event. My name is Isaac Weishaupt, and you're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Today, we're going to decode one of the most controversial events, the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. I've got a lot to get through. It's going to be a dense show. I don't have time to fully explain all of the things. I will have links if you want to get deeper into some of these more confusing concepts. Here's a list of what we're going to talk about. Snoop Dogg's Goat of Bob's necklace. Assassin's Creed. The secret societies of the Middle East. Knights Templars. The mystery Babylon religion. This goes back to my red pill daddy, Bill Cooper. Sen River sacrifices, Saturn, Mithras, stuff with the kids. I can't believe no one talked about this yet. It's shocking. I was like, bro, did you guys even watch this? I did. I watched it three times. It's 3 hours. I watched it three times, okay? The Lou, Freemasons, the Priory of Sion, Da Vinci Code, the notorious Last Supper image. That's with the drag queens. But I'm going to tell you what they were really showing us. Everyone's getting it wrong. Let me be your guide. Let me be your red pill daddy, and I will explain to you what's really happening on this opening ceremony. Dionysus with a shocking find. It's going to be in the conclusion. Okay. A shocking find of child sacrifice that I wrote about 10 years ago is this Dionysian blue smurf guy. Horses of the Apocalypse, and of course, Moloch, Baal, the bull god. But the whole thing was the mystery Babylon solar religion on full display, and we're going to decode it, and we're going to talk about a complex subject about the reconciliation of opposing forces. Snoop Dogg's goat with the Bob's chain, all right? Now, let's see. This was the 33rd Summer Olympics Games, all right? 33, of course, you know what the deal is. Illuminate Confirmed. Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, it's the highest degree of initiation. Invitation, members only. Some of our presidents were up at that 33 level. But France has always been heavy on the occult. Always. It goes back to one of the first conspiracies ever. Back when the French Revolution happened in the late 1700s. They were these two dudes that wrote books about how Adam Weishaupt's Bavarian Illuminati were actually behind the French Revolution. And to be fair, they were behind the American Revolution as well, because it was fallout from the Age of Enlightenment. All right, that influenced a lot of the thought leaders of the day. And what it did was it injected a bit of what, you know, they call rationality or scientism into pop culture and the mainstream way of thinking. Because at the time, or previous to the Age of Enlightenment, you had a lot of influence from the church and the monarchs, okay? That's, in fact, why the Rosicrucians of Germany came to America way back when, because they were trying to flee from the religious persecution that they were facing. So in a lot of the founding fathers, you'll find that they were deists, which is a sort of blend of Christianity with science. And you'll see it in their writings. Thomas Paine wrote a book called The Age of Reason. He straight up said Christianity was a fable. He believed in the natural law of deism, and he thought that the royal monarchy was in violation of that with their divine right to rule, which I agree with. I actually agree with them on that. Benjamin Franklin was a member of Francis Dashwood's Hellfire Club. They were doing satanic Eyes Wide Shut parties in caves underneath churches, very sacrilegious. Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible. Oh, boy. But yeah, these founding fathers, they were very radical. They rejected the authority of the church. They specifically wrote down that they thought there should be, you know, separation of church and state, and that the government shouldn't have an established religion, because they fled Europe because it had all those things. All right. So the American Revolution happens, French Revolution happens, and the idea here is that some people say it's the Freemasons that influenced these schools of thought. Some people say it's the Bavarian Illuminati. Could be both, right? Because Adam Weishaupt, he actually became a Freemason before he started the Illuminati. He was picking up what they were putting down, but what he didn't like was that they didn't have enough of the Eleusinian mysteries, the pagan gods of Greece and Rome, baked into their institution. So he's like, I'm going to do it myself. So here we go. All right. And anyway, so let's get into the Olympics, okay? So yeah, France has always been Illuminati confirmed. So has America too. I've been trying to campaign about this for many years, and I don't know who's listening. I just keep getting people mad at me, so I don't know. Be mad at me all you want. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't make the founding fathers write the things they wrote. Were some of them actually genuine Christians? Sure. I'm just saying some of them weren't. So today's Olympic ceremony, or this year's Olympic ceremony, had an introduction by Steven Spielberg. My God. Illuminati confirmed. I'm going to put a link in the show notes because I did a bonus episode because it's way too hot for the free feet losers. I did a bonus episode all about Steven Spielberg years ago. Do I remember what exactly I said? No. But I do know it was a bonus show only on supporter feeds. So I'll put a link to that. Well, how can I do that? I can only put a link to Patreon stuff. So if you're on the VIP section or Apple Premium, you're going to have to scroll way back to, I don't know, check the show notes. 2018, I think? 2019? All right. Then we have the Snoop Dogg. He was part of the Olympics, commentator team, which, you know, I'm an old guy. I grew up. I remember when Snoop Dogg killed somebody. Did he kill somebody? Oh, I think they found him innocent, but we all know what happened there. But now he's, selling us grills and beers and Olympics. And there was an image circulating of him wearing a chain with a goat head, which obviously in the rap community, it means he is the goat, the greatest of all time. But could be the goat, the goat with the bobs, the goat of Mendez, the Baphomet, which we'll come back to in the end. But I do want to clarify that I did not see him wearing that necklace at the Olympics opening ceremony. All right. There was a couple things that we're going to talk about today that I didn't see with my own eyes, but I will tell you when that happens. And to be fair, I said I watched it three times. I did. I was kind of distracted. Long story short, there was a lot of people around and doing a family function. And also when it came to the scenes with the boats, because I mean, there's like half of it's boats of athletes. I would kind of skip forward 10 seconds. So, I mean, theoretically, it's possible I missed something. All right. So theoretically, it's possible Snoop Dogg did wear the goat with the bobs chain at the opening ceremony. I didn't see it. Every time I saw him, he was wearing the Eiffel Tower necklace. But it doesn't matter. We'll come back to the goat with the bobs later. It's very important. Then Lady Gaga did a performance, and you'll notice she had a pyramid of pom-poms, right? Triangle, Illuminati confirmed. Lady Gaga, obviously Illuminati confirmed. We talked about her for many years, all the way back to Lena Morgana. Now she threw her off that building, allegedly, and then showed us the same exact theme in, which music video was it? She did it in a music video, and then she did it in American Horror Story, the same identical scene of her getting tossed off the building. And then she's hanging out with Marina Abramovich and all that, okay? Oh, and I'll put images on the Instagram. I had a hard time finding a clean version of this, so I had to take them with my phone on the screen, which isn't ideal, but turns out they banned this thing, the Olympic ceremony, from being online. I had to stream it on Peacock. Oh, it's a whole thing. All right. Then they interspersed the whole theme of the opening ceremony. They had this guy with a hood carrying a torch. They called him the torch bearer. but he was actually the character from Assassin's Creed, which from what I understand is a French game or something, or it's made in France, or I don't know. I don't play it. But it's this guy who's doing parkour, jumping on roofs and things. A guy or a woman, we don't know, to be fair. And it's actually based on the video game called Assassin's Creed. Now, Assassin's Creed is based on a real secret society called the Assassins. And it also has elements of the Knights Templar in it. And this is important because Bill Cooper has a, if you can find it online, there's like a 30-episode Mystery Babylon series. And I highly recommend it. It's very good. And he breaks down this whole thing. And he goes, in one of the episodes, he talks about the Assassins. And it's alleged heavily that the Knights Templar learned all of their techniques of the secret societies and gaining power from the Assassins, which were called so because they would assassinate their political enemies. Kind of a hot topic right now in America. You guys seen his ear? What's up with that ear? I want to know what's up with that ear. That don't make no damn sense. An ear would be that good looking. It's the most beautiful ear, some people say. It's the most beautiful ear you've ever seen. I don't want to get distracted. Anyway, the Knights Templar, they continue. So the theory is that the Knights Templar learned all these techniques and occult religious ideas from the Assassins of the Middle East. And all of this goes back to Mystery Babylon. All right. So the Knights Templar and the Assassins both spread the Mystery Babylon religion throughout Europe, disguised as Christianity, because that's a key component of these secret societies, is to embed themselves in the culture and fake to pretend they are one of the people or whatever, because there's a higher calling for them. And they say, look, the ends justify the means. We're going to lie our asses off and do whatever we got to do to get in position of power so we can instill this Mystery Babylon religion to complete what they call the Great Work. In alchemy, it's referred to as the Philosopher's Stone. It's all this stuff. All right. Now, Bill Cooper in Mystery Babylon says that the Knights Templar were actually communists. And he says, look at the flag. It shows two men riding one horse. Okay? Two men, one horse. with a black and white checkered imagery on there. And he says what it's showing us is the socialism of the two men sharing one horse, but it also shows us their god, this androgynous god that's male and female combined. The Baphomet, the go with the bobs, is what we're talking about here. And this goes back further. If you read Mark Booth's Secret History of the World, he talks about the occult belief system that believes that Adam was a hermaphrodite, the divine hermaphrodite, and you find this in alchemy and all kinds of stuff. It's very strange. We're going to try to unpack a little bit of it in the conclusion. But what's interesting is that when we talk about the Knights Templar, Jacques de Molay, the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar, was burnt, sacrificed at the Seine River in front of the Notre Dame Cathedral. These are all parts of the opening ceremony. The whole thing took place going down the Seine River. The Notre Dame Cathedral bells rang for the first time since it got burned down or whatever years ago. It's a whole thing. Jacques de Molay, the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar, is admired by a lot of occultist Illuminate confirms, Walt Disney being the most prominent one, a member of the Order of de Molay, basically a Boy Scouts for the Freemasons. So later on in the presentation here, and you'll notice throughout the event, it flashes French words on the screen as a theme for that section of the ceremony. And in my notes, because I watched this on Peacock, at the 44-minute and 44-second mark, the term synchronicity pops up on the screen. I said, you got to be kidding me. That's very odd. The repeating numbers, you know. And they explain it. They say, oh, it's about people working together to rebuild the Cathedral of Notre Dame. But we on this show know it means something different, because this is a term coined by Carl Jung, the Gnostic psychoanalyst. It's about two events that appear related, but they have no causal connection, right? Causal meaning one event causes the other, or at least partially causes it. So there's no two events happen and we don't know why they're related. And this ties into synchromysticism, which as the years go by, I kind of more believe in that, right? When things happen, I think, I don't know that anyone's this organized that they could pull this off. You know, when you see an event happen on a movie and then later on in real life it happens, you think, I don't know, why would they show us that? And I think some of it could be just synchronicity. It could just be weird things manifesting. Then they go through this whole deal about how the medal for the Olympics was created. And if you look at it, and again, I'll put the images up on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. The image is a flat, it's a hexagon. And you know what a hexagon is? It's a flattened three-dimensional cube. It's a symbol of Saturn. And this is, again, one of the occult mystery religion ideas. It's about man's separation from the Garden of Eden. And in their worldview, which everything is inverted, they find that to be liberating. They look at the serpent from the Garden of Eden as the savior and liberator of mankind. They're like, look, he broke us free from this prison of the Garden of Eden where we were forced to worship this false god. Now we can become our own gods, just like the serpent told them. Now, is that what they had in mind for the Olympics medal? I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe. Who knows? Could be. That's the million-dollar question, and I certainly can't answer that. I'm not in the rooms where these things are discussed. In fact, Jordan sent me a... Shout out, Jordan. Sent me a shot of a black cube building in Paris right next to a giant poster of Mithras, which is one of these solar religions that we'll talk about here in a minute. Then we go to a little bit of a scene about Les Miserables, which I'm a pretty uncultured guy, but I have seen Les Mis. Wasn't a fan, to be fair. I didn't think it was that great. I know, isn't that terrible? I'm a terrible human being. But I'll tell you, I thought it was long and boring. I was like, eh. I mean, this is probably cool 200 years ago. I bet it was cool. But anyways, they show Les Mis and it says Liberté. And they, you know, they're talking about the founding principles of the French Republic. And that was one of the themes of the opening ceremony is like this idea of equality and liberty and freedom, which obviously in America, we think that that's like our thing. Well, it was both, right? They were both happening around the same time for reasons I discussed earlier. And I think that was one of the main themes was trying to show equality of every person in the Republic. That's why they had a whole scene with all the female statues. Because the narrators discussed it. They said, oh, you know, we found out that in Paris we had, it was something like 70-80% of the statues were of men. But there were all these women that didn't have statues that should have had statues for all these amazing accomplishments. So they highlighted that. All right. And that's my point that they're trying to say is like, this is a nation of equality and we focus on that, which is kind of something we're supposed to be doing in America, all right? Which I think that's part of why you see a lot of the sort of open sexuality, trans, drag queen stuff, right? And we'll talk about that in a minute. Then we get the coolest part of the opening ceremony, Marie Antoinette holding her own head. And it's sort of the culmination of the French Revolution, because that's what happened is, from what I understand, is that the French people revolt, you know, did a little bit of a coup against the church and the monarchy, and she was the last one, and they were like, yeah, took her head right off. It took it off, and she was there stuck holding it. But anyways, the coolest part of the opening ceremony was this metal concert with the band Gojira, I guess. That was actually really cool. Then it goes to a scene where it goes through, you know, because France is known for romance and things like this. I've never been there. I assume that's accurate. I don't know. But it's a very romantical sort of culture from what I understand. So it has all this love and literature and people wearing these love heart shirts, these three people with a romantic interest in each other. And you see a bunch of book titles fly by. I looked up a few of them. They were, you know, basically just like romance novels from France, I guess. And what was interesting is that the images that we saw on the clothing was of a heart within a larger heart. Within a larger heart, right? Like a repeating sort of heart within a heart pattern. And I said, well, that's kind of a crazy choice, because this was back in 2018, around the height of those pizza emails, the FBI released a memo about various symbols used, you know, underground by these child trafficking units. And one of them was a heart within a heart. A lot of people talk about the spiral triangle. Well, there's one of a heart within a heart. And it specifically symbolizes a girl lover. It's an adult male or female with a minor girl. And don't ask me how they use it. I assume it's, I don't know, some messaging system they use. Point is, this was an FBI actual symbol used. And this is what I talked about with Emily on, I did the House and Habit podcast, talking about I'm going to put a link in the show notes. That's actually probably a good conversation if you want more on this subject, because she and I had a conversation about this, and she kind of pushes back and talks about some of these ideas, and it was a bit of a dialogue more than just me ranting or raving at you. But that's what we talked about on there, as I said, look, I don't know. On one level, I want to give artists creative, like if you're forcing me to have an opinion on this, is what I'm saying. I want to give artists creative leeway. Sometimes they're going to use a triangle. Sometimes maybe they have a heart within a heart. And this doesn't mean this is some Epstein child trafficking operation, okay? Because there's a lot of people, and look, I'm guilty of it in the past, absolutely. But it was only until a mirror was held up to my own dumb face that I said, maybe I'm being overzealous about some of this, okay? And what I'm talking about is during the pandemic, all of a sudden, everyone became a conspiracy theorist. And that's when I saw a million accounts talking about the things that I talk about. And I see it now, and I realize, I think, I want to add the right nuance to this conversation. I want to be careful with some of this. Some of this could be tied into Mystery Babylon. Some of this could be tied into child trafficking. But some of this could just be artists doing artist things. You got to let them create something. Like, you can't just be like, okay, here's all the things that are off the table. You can't have pizza. You can't have a triangle. You can't have a spiral. You know, you can't have a heart. Like, you know what I mean? So we have to sort of, but I will present the images. I'm not trying to, like, what do you say, like whitewash this and be like, oh, everything's fine. I'm just saying that we need to have a little bit of critical thinking here and say, how much of this is attributed to Babylon? How much of this is attributed to just artists, okay? And I will let you, of course, make that decision as always. I actually question whether or not this is part of Mystery Babylon because of all the other things that we see at the opening ceremony. So, plot twist, I actually think maybe this is part of that trafficking thing. Maybe. So these three people, they're running around and they basically start making out and close the door, implying they're going to have a menage a trois, which also French culture, by the way. the Eiffel Tower, the Devil's Triangle. But I was a little bit like, oh, that was a risky move. Right? Now, am I personally offended? No, not at all. I don't care. Now, if I was thinking about, hey, there's going to be millions of Americans with their children watching the Olympics, is this a bit risque? It's a little cheeky. It's a little risque. I don't know. I don't have kids. I don't know if kids notice that. But I think in French culture, it's like sex isn't as taboo. Like in America, they say we're Puritans in the streets and freaks in the sheets. And I find that to be true. I find that to be very true. I think a lot of people are very, there's like a weird sort of shaming about sexuality. Like if it was my, if I had kids, I'd just be like, yeah, this is like a thing adults do. I don't know. But like, to speak up for the parents, I think a lot of parents are upset by this type of thing being shown on the TV. And let's zoom out. It's the Olympics. What the hell are we doing here? Okay. What's going on? So there you go. That whole thing happened. Shockingly, it wasn't more controversy about that. I thought, well, that seemed pretty controversial, but that's not the things I saw people talking about. The assassin guy goes to the loo. The loo, of course, is what? Is what? Illuminate confirmed. From the book The Da Vinci Code, which was one of my favorite books. Supposedly, and I haven't read this in a long time, but supposedly it has encoded messaging of as above, so below with the pyramid artwork. In the book, it refers to, because I guess underground, there's an inverted pyramid. Because above ground, they've got an upright pyramid. Or they did or do, I don't know. But underground, there's a big inverted pyramid that meets the apex of a tiny, tiny pyramid. And what it represents is the inverted pyramid is the upside down triangle. This is the chalice. This is the womb. You'll see women are do, or even in OTO magic rituals, their hands are in the shape of an upside down inverted pyramid or triangle, I should say. Represents the chalice, the womb of the sacred feminine, the receiving body, as opposed to the upright pyramid, which it meets underground, right? Initiatory tale, underground. It meets the masculine upright triangle or pyramid, which symbolizes the sun. It's the solar religion. And it represents the theme of opposing forces meeting together, which, again, I'm going to try to unpack that a little bit in the conclusion. Also, fun fact, Tom Cruise, world's second greatest actor, was in a movie called Edge of Tomorrow, one of my favorites. And I can't, in case you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil anything, but there is a scene with the loo. Underground is where some bad stuff happens, okay? Minions. Again, I don't have kids. Never seen the movie. No idea. But I did see they had a little Minions bit. And the Minions are all put, they all sport a G on their chest. And I talked to someone and they said, oh yeah, it's because there's this Gru is like their God kind of figure or something. Gru is the, what the G stands for. And the reason we saw it at the opening ceremony is because of Illumination Studios that creates the Minions is apparently in Paris. But the G is actually what you see on Freemason iconography, and it means grand creator or the grand architect, and it's basically their god. So you see it on the Minions. All right. Okay, next, the big one, the Last Supper scene. And I watched this, and the narrators, they talk about fashion in French culture because it wasn't a table, it was a runway. Now, to be fair, so I thought, when I watched it, I thought, oh, well, this isn't a Last Supper recreation. It's a runway. To be fair, the imagery does, in fact, resemble the Last Supper when they like zoom in, before they zoom out and show the runway part. So to be fair, it does look very similar. Now, here's what's interesting is that the Leonardo da Vinci Last Supper is not part of Christian dogma. Turns out it's just a painting from Leonardo da Vinci, all right? And lots of people have riffed on the idea, including Beyonce years ago. She depicted herself at the Last Supper on some artwork, or someone did it for her, I should say. And a fun fact, this is also part of the Da Vinci Code also. The Da Vinci Code is based upon the Last Supper painting. And it's referring to a hidden bloodline of Christ and the alleged secret society, the Priory of Sion. And the Priory of Sion is based upon a variety of things that later turned out to be false, supposedly. But they protect a Merovingian bloodline, and then later Holy Blood, Holy Grail used this document to say that it's actually the bloodline of Christ. And there was this document that supposedly had the list of the names of all the grand masters of the Priory of Sion. And one of them was Leonardo da Vinci. Okay. Now, when you look at this image at the ceremony, you'll see the woman at the center, who's presumably the sort of God figure, Jesus Christ. She had a halo around her head. Well, these were actually the rays of the sun. This goes back to iconography of solar worship, and you see it with Semiramis, and it's the rays of the sun. You see it with Sol Invictus in Mithraism and Roman mythology. And it makes sense because it turns out that this wasn't a representation of the Last Supper. It was a representation of a painting called the Symposium of the Gods. And it's very much based upon the pagan Greek and Roman mythologies. And in the painting, it's got a blue guy named Dionysus. And Apollo is at the center of the table with the rays of the sun coming off his head. And what do you see at this event? At the Olympics, you see the rays of the sun, that's the female with the Apollo, and you see the blue guy, the Smurf guy, Dionysus. Now, we're going to come back to the Dionysus thing in the conclusion, but I want to point something out here. This is one of the caveats when I say I watched this thing. I pretty much watched it straight through without fast-forwarding, but I did fast-forward bits here and there. I didn't see the scene with the Dionysus on the peacock. Now, it's possible I just missed it. Highly possible, because I've seen tons of images of this Dionysus blue guy. I didn't catch it. I didn't see it on the peacock opening ceremony replay. So I'm wondering if they didn't remove it, which would be even more like Illuminate confirmed, because supposedly this guy is he's naked and his nuts are out. I don't know. But we're going to come back to that in the conclusion, because I found something real interesting about this, okay? Also, I read online that people were saying Da Vinci was gay. I didn't see anything that confirmed that. It was apparently a rumor because he used to hang out with young boys. I don't know. Oh, also, it was raining. I should note that it was raining because that fits into a lot of the themes of Moloch and Baal. All right? It's raining during all of this. It hasn't rained in like 70 years at an Olympics opening ceremony. And of course, you know, the Christians that are outraged by the Last Supper scene, they're like, it's punishment from the big man himself. All right. And then the next day, there was a power outage, allegedly. Interesting. Interesting developments. Well, then Beyonce comes out. She introduces Team USA. And of course, it's Beyonce, the queen of Illuminate Confirm. We've talked about her many times. Then we see, now we're coming up to the finale. It says Solidarity. And you see a person in armor riding on a mechanical horse that later turns into a white horse or a silverish looking horse. Now, when you listen to the narration, it says that the rider on the horse was described by the creators as a representation of Olympic spirit carrying the Olympic flag. That's all they said. If you look online, you'll see some people say it's the gendarmerie officer. I don't know what that means. Some people said it was Joan of Arc. I don't know what's true because the TV didn't specify any of that. Okay, a gendarmerie is a military force with law enforcement duties among the civilian population. There you go. Now, if it was Joan of Arc, that'd be real interesting because, again, we've got the idea of sacrifice. She was burnt to death like Jacques de Molay and her ashes thrown into the Seine River. So she met the same end as Jacques de Molay. Now, Joan of Arc is an interesting character. She supposedly was, you know, channeling spirits and talking to spirits and all this crazy stuff, right? But she was besties with a guy named Gil de Ray. And Gilda Ray came up in one of my shows. I talked about Jack Parsons, called himself the Antichrist. And he said in his past life, he was Gilda Ray. All right. And if you read Sex and Rockets, the book about him, Jack Parsons had apparently, he claimed that Gilda Ray, who he was in a previous life, tried to make Joan of Arc the queen of witchcraft because Gilda Ray was doing a lot of occult stuff and he was possessed by demons. And this is going to be a very dark conversation. I'm gonna tell you what I told you on that episode way back when. He was accused of killing hundreds of children in occult rituals. He was condemned to death because one of his friends confessed that he saw all this stuff happening, and the trials revealed that, I don't know how to say it nicely, but he was sodomizing kids and then killing them. And one of his servants claimed that he would strip these kids nude and hang them with ropes and pleasure himself while doing all this. And then he would take the kids down and he would kill them through decapitation, dismemberment. And he even desecrated the bodies. One of the servants said this, quote, "When the said children were dead, he kissed them, and those who had the most handsome limbs and heads he held up to admire them, and had their bodies cruelly cut open, and took delight at the sight of their inner organs. And very often, when the children were dying, he sat on their stomachs and took pleasure in seeing them die, and laughed." Crazy, huh? Now, Aleister Crowley liked Gilda Ray, too. He said that Gilda Ray was the male equivalent of Joan of Arc, and his only crime was the pursuit of knowledge. Oh, wouldn't you know? But, you know, all these occultists who love Aleister Crowley are like, oh, he's still a good guy. Oh, really? They are? I didn't know that. In 1992, a Freemason Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of France decided to retry this 500-year-old case. Why? Who knows? They found Gilda Ray not guilty, though. Isn't that something? And now they say he's a victim of false charges. So I don't know why even going through all that. To clear his name, I guess? And to be fair, I haven't sat in on the trials. I don't know. And I wasn't there. But the original trial of 1438 showed that Gilda Ray was seeking enlightenment through alchemy and demonic summoning. He was trying to summon a demon, which later possessed him. And the demon's name was Baron, which comes up in our talk about Baron Trump, the time traveler. I think we talked about that in the Trump Conspiracy Part 3. And anyways, this demon signed a contract with Gilda Ray and demanded all this sacrifice of kids. So if that was Joan of Arc that at the holding the flag, that would be interesting, to say none the least, because Gilda Ray was the male equivalent. Now, I don't know if Joan of Arc did any of that awful stuff. I don't know. I'm not an expert on her either. Anyways, this character ends up on a whitish-looking horse. And a lot of people say, oh, this is the apocalypse. They're showing us the end times are here. And I don't know that that's terribly off the mark. The book of Revelation talks about four horsemen. And a lot of people online are saying, oh, this is the pale horse. That's not quite accurate, because the pale horse is actually green. And it represents widespread death and rotting flesh. It looked more like a white horse, which would be the first horse of the apocalypse. All right. And if you go to the Orthodox Study Bible, it says that the first rider on the white horse represents the spirit of conquest, which sounds a lot like what those narrators said this character on the horse was about. It's the vision of capturing the Olympic spirit. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. It kind of confirms it's a horse of the apocalypse, though. And we talked about, I don't know if you're following the Twin Peaks saga. It's a love it or hate it thing. I get a lot of people that are real upset I talk about Twin Peaks once a month. And we talked about it there, basically, because there's a white horse in the story of Twin Peaks. And we talked about how John Dee and Edward Kelly witnessed this white horse of the apocalypse when they saw the Whore of Babylon, and they thought they were bringing about the end times way back then. So, I mean, good news, even if they're trying to usher in the end times, they've been trying to usher in the end times for a long time. And guess what? Man can't make it happen. Only God. God will come back when God decides it is time. So, I don't know why we can't just go about our business. But some people are trying desperately to bring about the end times. We're almost done. Let's finish this up. The figure who was on the pale horse then walks with the flag to where the end of the ceremony happens, where they raise the flag. Now, this was interesting because you can see on the background a massive bust of a bronze bull. I said, you got to be absolutely kidding me. The bronze bull was a statue of Moloch. It was this bull god that people used to sacrifice their kids to in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And we're going to talk about in the conclusion a little bit. But anyways, they end up raising the flag, and if you look, it's actually upside down. It's inverted, right? Maybe this whole opening ceremony is an inverted sort of satanic ritual. Anyways, so then the Eiffel Tower gets electrified, the torch goes up in a balloon, and then it's all done. Now, in conclusion, let's wrap up what we saw here. First, let's note how this is arguably the most copyright-protected event ever. I couldn't find a copy of this thing streaming on YouTube, Rumble, Vimeo, nothing. Even Daily Motion. I had to watch it on Peacock. I said, wow, their YouTube is, you know, the kings of censorship, YouTube. They're doing a great job over there. And I watched a TikTok from Jack Mack, and he's pointed out to a document that said the International Committee of the Olympics specifically says the opening ceremony should have nothing political or religious. And I saw a lot of religious stuff in this opening ceremony. And as you know, the Olympics have always been Illuminati confirmed. Paris is where they got the idea to do Olympics games. You know, they started it in Athens in, I think it was 1896. But the opening ceremony was only started by the one of the occult kings, Adolf Hitler, in 1936. And he said he didn't even want to participate in the Olympics in 1936 because he said it was the invention of Jews and Freemasons. But the propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels, convinced him it would be great for propaganda because that's what they were all about. That's why they used 20,000 swastikas at their, you know, parades and such, because they were trying to pull energy from the population towards their dastardly deeds. But it was only when Hitler took power that they created an opening ceremony, and it starts from, there's a high priestess at the Temple of Hera in Mount Olympus, and they pray to the god of the sun, Apollo, for the sun to light the torch. The sun has to actually light that torch. So you can see how important the solar religion and the ancient mystery schools are to this whole event, because that's what it centers around. And the whole event we saw was the occult system of solar worship on display. Albert Pike said that the mystery schools goes all the way back to Isis and Osiris. And in the Morals and Dogma book, he says that the Egyptian mysteries go back to Greece. And what it all is, it's all encoding solar religion and Luciferianism. And we saw it throughout the opening ceremony with that Symposium of the Gods painting with Apollo at the center with the rays of the sun coming from the crown. The dying and resurrecting God every day is the sun, you know. The corona or the crown is what happens when it goes down to death at night and then comes back at peak power at high noon. That's what the obelisk symbolizes, the phallus, or Eiffel Tower's kind of fallacy. But Osiris, aka Apollo, and the sun god, it represents the primordial knowledge of intellect, because that's what these people are into. It's not really about this specific god of Apollo or Osiris. It's more about the worship of intellect, man's intellect, which they think can free us from this false god. It's what they call the lost word of Freemasonry. And in the book of the story of Osiris, Osiris and Set get into a fight, and Osiris gets cut up into 14 pieces, and Isis finds all but one of them, the phallus. So she creates a golden obelisk to be the phallus. And this represents, in Freemasonry, the lost word. Okay, and there's lots of sort of mythology. If you listen to Bill Cooper's Mystery Babylon, you'll hear more, but Osiris is represented by the doctrine of the occult, or the secret societies, I should say. Isis is the body of all the different secret societies, all the initiates, all right? And it's about opposing forces. Osiris as the sun, Isis as the moon. Osiris as the male, Isis as the female, and so on. and you see the themes of opposing forces show up at the opening ceremony. Specifically, there's all this talk about drag queens and gender bending and the Dionysus, okay, the Smurf man. And ironically, if you listen to about a month ago, I did an episode about the mascots for these Olympics. They're these Phrygian caps. And I talked about the Smurfs in that episode. So I thought that was ironic. We saw a Smurf, basically. And we talked about how the Phrygian caps ties us into a lot of left-hand path, occult religions like the cult of Mithras and Zoroastrianism. But all of that ties into solar worship. Right? We went into detail on that. I'll put a link in the show notes for that one, too, for all the people on the free feed. If you're on a supporter's feed, I'm sorry, I cannot. You're going to scroll back on the app about a month. And, Mithras is all about Sol Invictus and the slaying of the bull, right? There's the bull again with the Moloch, but it's about a solar religion, basically. And I've talked about Dionysian ritualistic methods, right? In terms of making contact with God or the divine, in Dionysian strategies, you overload the senses with orgia and food and drugs, and that's why you saw a lot of these things. And you saw lots of, like the gender bending with the bearded woman. And again, this ties into the idea of that Knights Templar flag with the black and white, with the androgynous god of the Baphomet, the goat with the bobs, because it represents male and female combined back to the original hermaphroditic Adam. Because that's what the Knights Templar got. They got basically disbanded for the heresy of worshiping the goat with the bobs. And that's why Snoop Dogg's wearing the chain. Allegedly, right? It's the union of opposing forces. And in alchemy, it's the rebus. And this goes back to Isaac Newton. And look, I'm not going to pretend I fully understand this, but my best summation of what this is about, like, Isaac Newton talked about how light existed in two states at once. In quantum physics, you call it superposition. It was waves and particles, and it depended on the observer to see and look at it to change what it was, I think, roughly. And from this, it goes into this idea of transmutation of light into matter and matter into light. And that's a very Gnostic Manichaeism principle of how our light is trapped in the body, in the material plane, and they want to liberate it, quote unquote, back to the real Pleroma where their Gnostic God lives. And he was basically proving an alchemical idea of the alchemical rebus. This is symbolized as the two-headed eagle, or the two-headed being that has a male and a female face on the same body, if you look it up. Very sort of gender-bendy. And the light of consciousness is the great work. It's the union of the king and queen of alchemy, and it's the mystical marriage of the masculine and feminine, the sun and the moon, the Osiris and the Isis. Okay. Now, one last major part we got to break down. We talked about how it rained, okay? And I thought that was interesting because if you read my book I wrote 10 years ago, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, I'm going to read you the paragraph from it to save you time. I wrote in here about Moloch and rain and child sacrifice. I said, the Bible says that people were instructed to specifically not let their sons walk through the fire, which is a reference to the burning pits used to sacrifice humans to Moloch, a.k.a. Baal, who was a bull-headed king who was also believed to bring about rain during times of drought. This is strange because the Mesoamericans were also into sacrifices for their rain deities, even though there was allegedly no contact between the regions. Now maybe you could see how the rain was part of the bull god Moloch symbolism that we saw at the opening ceremony with the bronze bull. Okay. And then finally, even stranger yet, in my book, I basically talked about this blue Smurf Dionysus, kind of. Take a listen to this. The Mayan people believed that underground caves with networks of rivers called cenotes were pathways to the underworld. They thought the waters were somehow pulled up by the gods and dropped as rain. So they would hold rituals and sacrifices at places like the sacred cenote at Chichen Itza to the rain god Chalk. Listen up here. the Maya would take a child sacrifice and paint his face blue before taking him to the deepest underground point before the priest would sacrifice him and toss him into the rivers as an offering to Chalk. Oddly enough, Chalk was also depicted as a reptilian with scales, which links us into David Icke's shape-shifting reptilian theme as well, since Icke also ties reptilians to the Draco constellation and vampires. So apparently, the blue guy is the offering to Chalk, the rain god. And what happened? We got lots of rain. Massively interesting event, folks. And of course, the big question is, was this all intended to be a ritualistic event to usher in the end times? I can't answer that for you. But I can tell you there were themes of that in the show. Could it be that they were baked into it on purpose? Or is this just synchro mysticism popping up and manifesting because it's on the minds of the masses? I don't know. Does it change the way we go about our day, though? That's the big question. How do you internalize this and go about your walk of life? I'd argue it could make you a better or worse person. And the choice is up to you, as it always is. Thank you for your time. Links are in the show notes. Till next time, stay positive.